Right, this morning I'd like to talk to you about Elisha, the prophet Elisha, who was a 9th century BC prophet, and his name means God is salvation. He was the prophet that followed Elijah, and Israel was in sin and rebellion to God at that time, and his ministry spans over 50 years. That was 4 kings of Israel and 5 kings of Judah. Now, that's just a very quick introduction, and I want to do the whole of Elisha's life in 25 minutes is asking a bit much, but I'm going to try. But I just want to get your enthusiasm up for the life of Elisha and to go and read for yourself. And I want us to see what lessons we can learn from Elisha's life collectively and personally. Now, some of you like to make notes, that's fine. But if you have an electronic device, if you open it up, you will find the notes are there. And if not, when you get home, they'll be in your inbox. So you can just, and as poor Chloe said, she said, oh, it's in colour. I said, well, delete all the pictures and print it off in black and white. So it's up to you, really. Now, we're going to skim through 18 episodes of Elisha's life, and each of them is a sermon in itself, so you can see how fast I've got to be. And they don't necessarily appear in chronological order, and they're often referred to as miracles. And some of those have a definite moral or ethical purpose as in a true miraculous sense, where others perhaps have no point at all except for amazement. Now, let's see, am I getting this? Oh, yes. Number one, the first episode is the call of Elisha in 1 Kings 19. And Elisha was just ploughing his oxen. Along comes Elijah, throws his cloak around him as an ordination of the investiture of the prophetic mantle. Elisha was designated as divinely appointed to the prophetic task. And then, of course, after this, in verse 20, Elisha runs after Elisha. There's an immediate response, and he understood the implications immediately of the call on his life. He asked permission to go home and say goodbye, which he did. He made a proper exit from the family. He respected their feelings and yet strongly felt the call of God on his life. And we've just heard from our friends, you know, how they've got a call of God on their life and yet they're respecting their family like Elisha did. And Elisha served Elijah in a place of submission, covering and learning in a safe environment. He was able to make mistakes. He had on-the-job training, and that lasted somewhere between 6 and 12 years. My challenge to you here is, have I heard and responded to God's call on my life? Am I prepared to take action by making a radical break with the past and place myself in a position of being mentored? Episode number 2, Elijah taken up to heaven. And Guy spoke to us about that back in September. And Elijah and Elisha went from Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, Jordan. And Elijah wanted Elisha to leave him. And he said, I won't leave you, I won't leave you. It takes determination and perseverance to follow God. And Elisha was resolute to keep following Elijah in order to develop to inherit the double portion. The double portion was so important. And Elijah went up in the whirlwind, not the chariot of fire. Elisha picked up the cloak of Elijah, struck the Jordan, it parted, and we see Elisha's first miracle. How much determination do I have? Am I seeking God for a double portion? Episode number 3, the healing of the waters. The waters were bad and the land was unproductive. This was Jericho. And Elisha called for a new bowl, one that was undefiled, and he put salt in it, and he put this salt in the water, and the waters became sweet. The salt was used to symbolize the covenant faithfulness of God. And there's a whole sermon in salt, and on your notes you can see the properties of salt and how they affect our lives. They're pure, pleasant, it preserves, it protects, it pervades. And I'd just like to say, does everyone I come in contact with change for the better? And just the way salt pervades everything, 2 Corinthians 2. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. And that's my challenge there. But just as these waters were healed, are you in need of healing this morning? Allow the pure salt, God's pure salt, to just pervade you as you receive your healing. Episode number 4. Elisha is jeered. He's called a bald head by the youths who had utter disdain for the Lord's representative and who felt he had no power. And Elisha called down the covenant curse upon these youths, and 2 bears mauled 42 of them. And it was a grave warning of the judgment that would come on the entire nation should it persist in disobedience and apostasy. So we see that God's covenant blessings come to those who look to him, but God's covenant curse would fall on those who turned away from him. Episode number 5, Moab revolts. During the reign of King Ahab, Israel had required a heavy annual tribute from the Moabites as a vassal state. And here Moab is rebelling against the sheep and the wool that they give over yearly. And this is the story of Elisha's part in the campaign of the 3 kings of Israel, Judah and Edom against Moab. Elisha is asked for his input. He calls for a harp. He gets a prophetic word and he says, make this valley full of ditches. And the land was filled with water. It looked like blood, as if the enemies had slaughtered each other, and there was a victory. But the challenge is, there would have been no victory unless the ditches had been dug. Just as we probably think there would have been less floods if the rivers had been dredged, but there were no victory unless the ditches had been dug. Am I actively digging ditches, or do I limit God's miracles in my life by my restricted actions in response to his word? So number 6, the widow's oil. Her husband had been one of the company of the prophets. He died and the family were now in financial difficulty. The creditors were coming to take her sons as slaves to pay the debt. She appeals to Elisha for help. He tells her to borrow vessels, jugs, bowls, and fill them with oil from the small jar that she had. The quantity of oil was limited only by her faith in collecting empty vessels. There was expectation, preparation, and then the provision came. My challenge. Have you had a word from God? Are you acting in faith by obedience? The extent of your miracle could depend on the size of your preparation. Episode number 7, the Shunammite's son restored to life. Now, in this story, we have the first mention of Gehazi, who is Elisha's servant. In some of the same ways in which Elisha was servant to Elijah, but there was no evidence of an anointed call on Gehazi's life, and he was not being mentored. And really, Elisha and Gehazi are men of drastically different characters. Anyway, the lady, the Shunammite, said to her husband, Elisha, on his prophetic rounds, comes here, let's make a room for him, put a bed, a chair, a table, and a lamp in there for him. And Elisha was very, very grateful. And in the end, he prophesies that the lady will have a son. She does. He grows. He goes into the field. He gets a headache and he dies. She puts him on the prophet's bed. She's absolutely devastated. And she goes to Elisha at Mount Carmel. And this was not just down the road. This was quite a journey of perhaps up to 20 miles. And she goes to the prophet and she doesn't want Gehazi. She wants the prophet to come. The prophet comes and lays on the boy and he is raised to life. What an amazing miracle. The Shunammite woman was kind to Elisha and God rewarded her. And it takes faith in the face of difficulties to follow God. But the woman never wavered in her belief that Elisha's God could raise her son. Episode 8, Death in the Pot. They're now at Gilgal and there's a famine and it's seen as a covenant curse. They'd made a stew. It was made for the prophetic conference of the company of the prophets and they'd collected gourds to put in there and one was poisonous, so there was poison in this stew. And Elisha is called and he put flour into the stew and it became edible. And here God is providing for those who were faithful to the covenant at times when others were suffering under the curse of famine. And of course it reminds us of the verse in Mark 16, when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Yes, God cares about all aspects of our lives, even upset stomachs. But have I considered the possible root of any recurrent problems that there may be in my life? Number 9, the feeding of 100. When Elisha told Gehazi to feed 100 people with 20 loaves, Gehazi doubted. Not nearly enough to feed 100 men. Now Elisha's reply was, just go ahead and do it. God says there's plenty. If God says there's plenty, go ahead and do it. And of course we can compare this obviously in the New Testament to Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. As I share, give and provide for others, I can activate God's miraculous provision. Episode number 10, Naaman healed of leprosy. Yes, there was the young girl who was captured during the conflict and held in Damascus. And she was very much aware of God's saving presence with his people through the servant Elisha. She just shared her faith naturally. It spilled out. Her relationship with God was so real. And her hostile circumstances didn't cause her rock-solid faith to waver. She never doubted her God. And so she said to Naaman's wife, go to the prophet. But of course, Naaman was sent to the king who tore his robes and eventually sent Naaman to Elisha. And Elisha instructed him to go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Me washing the Jordan? He didn't want to go. But his servants encouraged him and said, you know, if you'd been told to do something great, you would have done it. Why don't you go and wash? And so he did obey the word of the prophet and he went and washed. It took him humility and Naaman had to be humble enough to follow Elisha's instructions and so be healed of his leprosy. My challenge, do I ever stop short of the answer? Whatever your circumstances, press in, be encouraged, surround yourself with friends or the servants who will support you. Don't give up. God's answer may be nearer than you think. Times 1 to 6 may seem to go on forever, But the seventh time will come if you exhibit determination and perseverance in the Lord. Episode 11, Gehazi gets Naaman's leprosy. Naaman wanted to give gifts to Elisha. He said no. But Gehazi got greedy. He deceived Naaman in order to satisfy his desire for material gain. He took gifts off Naaman, went and hid them in his house, went back to Elisha, who obviously God had told what had gone on, and he used thought-provoking questions. He didn't condemn Gehazi, yet there was obviously sadness and disappointment in what he said. But he said, he used questioning, he said, "Didn't you know that I was with you in spirit when that man stepped down from his chariot to greet you? Is this a time to look after yourself, lining your pockets with gifts? Do I ever hear God speak to me by asking me questions? I often do. And how do I respond?" Episode 12. The company of the prophets, their meeting place was too small. And so they needed a new building. They went to the Jordan to cut down trees for their building project. And Elisha nearly didn't go, but he was persuaded to. But of course, this iron axe head, a costly tool that was very expensive for the members of the prophets to purchase, therefore it was borrowed. And if it had been lost, he maybe would have had to work as a slave to pay for its value. And of course, the one whose axe head it was, his livelihood too, would have been affected. And yet so, Elisha said, where did it drop? He went, put in a stick, the axe head floated, and there was great rejoicing. Where are you today? Has your axe head sunk? You may need to return to the place where the axe head fell. But also, is God raising the axe in your life today? Bend down, and that takes an act of effort and will. Embrace God's provision in your life and take up the axe. God is aware of your needs and concerned for your miraculous provision. Episode 13. Elisha warned the king of Israel time and time again about ambush sites so he could be on his guard. This enraged the Syrian king. And so the king sent his army to surround the city of Dothan by night where Elisha was. Elisha was to be captive. The king of Aram thought he could eliminate Elisha's influence by denying him access to Israel's king. The armies were there. Gehazi, that was all he could see. He was filled with fear. He just saw the obvious. He felt helpless. Do I often see things from an earthly point of view rather than God's? Do you feel helpless in your situation today? What kind of enemy armies can affect you? Well, don't be afraid. That was what Elisha said. And then he said, there are more on our side than on their side. Remember that again. There are more on our side than there on their side. And then Elisha's prayer, Lord, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. That was a real spiritual moment for Gehazi. And in response to Elisha's prayer, Gehazi was able to see the protecting mighty heavenly hosts that had gathered to protect Elisha. So just as Elisha has prayed for the eyes of the servant to be opened to the unseen reality of the heavenly hosts, he now prays for the eyes of the Aramean soldiers to be closed to the earthly reality. And the power of the Lord working through Elisha turned the intended captors into captives. God can look after us no matter how much the circumstances seem against us. We need God's faith. We need faith to see God's protection. And do we need God to open our eyes today to see the heavenly hosts surrounding us personally and as a church? Episode 14, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, had besieged Samaria for so long that famine resulted. And the situation was awful. Cannibalism was taking place in the city. The king was helpless, and yet he blamed Elisha for this famine. So Elisha's life was at risk. Elisha prophesies that within 24 hours there would be food. The officer was sceptical. You expect us to believe that? Trap doors opening in the sky and food tumbling out? And there were the four lepers that were outside the city. They found food and they found the enemy camp deserted because God had caused a sound that the soldiers, that made all the soldiers flee for their lives. The lepers obviously were amazed and they thought, oh, we can't keep this to ourselves. They went back and told the king. And the king's disbelief caused him to conclude that the report of the leprous men was part of the Aramean war strategy rather than evidence of the fulfillment of Elisha's prophecy. And so he sent out scouts to verify their story before allowing the people to plunder the enemy camp. Am I hearing from God that I'm able to speak and act to bring about God's will? Do I remember that deliverance is down to God's grace and intervention? Episode 15. On Elisha's initiative, the Shunammite woman and her family had gone to Philistia for 7 years to escape the famine. After this time, Gehazi was talking to the king, who was asking questions. Tell me some of the great stories about the things Elisha did, he said. And at that very moment that he was reporting of the dead boys coming back to life again, the lady and her son arrived. And an officer was assigned to make sure that the land and her home was restored, plus all the profits that had been made from her land since the time she had left. God's provision, God's timing. Have I experienced it? Also God's surprises. Elisha goes to Damascus to carry out one of the three tasks originally given to Elijah in 1 Kings 19. The Lord gave Elisha a clear picture of the severity of judgment he was about to send on Israel by the hand of Hazael, who was a son of nobody, a commoner who usurped the throne. And Elijah's words don't sanction Hazael's acts, but show what is going to happen. So Hazael goes back, tells Ben-Hadad that he would recover, which he did, but he then got a rag soaked in water and he murdered Ben-Hadad and became king. You know, sometimes prophetic words aren't palatable. Here Elisha discharged the last of the tasks committed to Elijah and he anoints Jehu to be the king of Israel. A very sad picture of the destruction of the house of Ahab. Eventually, God's judgment is brought about. And then we see the end of Elisha's life when he's speaking to the king and he tells him to shoot the Lord's arrow of victory. And the king reprimands, the king is reprimanded for only striking the ground three times. He should have been persistent and not given up. because God is faithful to his word. One needs enthusiasm and perseverance to follow God. The king only struck the ground 3 times and limited the number of times he would win against his armies. Do I give up too easily and limit God? And then the very last reference to Elisha in the Old Testament, even after his death, God used his bones to demonstrate his life-giving power. So, conclusion. Elisha's ministry was conducted as head of the school of the prophets. He had gifts of knowledge and foresight and capacity to work miracles. And although his home was in Samaria, he was constantly moving around. He enjoyed access to royal courts and lowly dwellings. Peasants and kings turned to him for help. He performed a greater number of miracles than any other prophet except Moses. There were parallels between, obviously, the life of Elijah and Elisha, Moses and Joshua, Jesus and John the Baptist. While Elisha was often termed a patriot, like Elijah, much of his political involvement was directed at bringing the apostate monarchy and nation back to the recognition of God's sovereignty in this world. When Elisha healed the sick, it was to demonstrate God's power over life and death. When he helped in battle, it was to demonstrate God's power over nations and kingdoms. We see many recurrent themes: the theme of food with the widow's oil, death in the pot, the feeding of 100, and the famine in Samaria. We see the incidents of healing. We see episodes of judgment, military episodes, and episodes of nature in the parting of the Jordan, the healing of the water, and the axe head floating. So in conclusion, in all the experiences of Elisha's life, he had insight, he was steadfast, he heard from God, and he acted in obedience. Do I, like Elisha, have ability to confidently hear from God and to act on what he has said? Do I have compassion for the marginalized and yet boldness before rulers? And do I experience miracles as everyday part of my life? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you today for the life of Elisha. And Lord, we thank you that he was a man of God who heard from you. And Lord, we just want to be people today who, in all our experiences of life, know that you are with us, that you will give us your words, your steadfastness, and your insight. And Lord, when we hear from you, may we be people who act in obedience to your word. Lord, work in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.